Good evening. In just a moment, David is going to come up and share with you a number of photos that were taken during our trip to Raleigh. I think he's narrowed it down to about 40-some-odd photographs out of about 700. And I don't have any idea how he possibly did that, but I'm looking forward to seeing them, and I trust that you'll enjoy them as well. I wanted to say a couple of words about India and the work there. This support of this work, as far as I know, began with Bud McDonald and Joy in Katy, Texas. Someone came there and said that they knew of a good man and a good work, and that he could use some support. And they began to support him, and they introduced us to the work, and we have been supporting the work. And as our support for the work has increased over the years, it just made sense for us to, at some point, think about traveling to Raleigh to check on the work firsthand. We had a number of good reports from people who had visited there. We had seen photographs and very favorable reports, and but we felt like, as good stewards of the congregation, we felt that we owed it to you and to the Lord's work to make sure that the funds that were being utilized there were being used to extend the borders of the Lord's kingdom. And so we began to think about Raleigh. We wanted to check on the work there. We wanted to encourage the saints. We also wanted to assess the needs that they had there firsthand. And they were asking us to come to dedicate a building, the Bud and Joy Children's Home, that Red Burleson had donated a substantial portion of his estate to. And so that became the occasion for which we decided to travel to Raleigh. And so we put together a 10-day trip. 4 days of that would be travel, and 6 days we would spend there. We flew out of Mobile to Atlanta to JFK, and then a 20-hour flight from JFK to Mumbai, India. And then from Mumbai, flew on into Hyderabad, and then from Hyderabad to Rajahmundry. And then from there, they came and picked us up in a van. A little bit of information about India. They had been under British colonial rule that ended in 1947. And we noticed that India has adopted several things from the British, one of which is that English there is spoken with a British accent, which is kind of interesting. When they spoke English, they spoke with a British accent. In the morning, they would say, "Good morning, sir. Sleep well, sir." You know, and it was very, very neat to hear that. Also, we began to talk about football and baseball, and they said, "No, our national sport is cricket. You know, cricket is the sport there." They drive on the left side of the street, which I was certainly glad that I wasn't driving. Praveen, which is Jayapal's son, did most of the driving when we were there, and a couple of times we all just had to cover our eyes. They also took time out for tea. They had tea time. So it was very, very interesting. The town, or the big city of Mumbai, was formerly Bombay. It was changed in 1995 because of a right-wing Hindu group was elected there, and they felt like that was one more thing that reminded them of British colonial rule that they wanted to do away with. And so consequently, they named it Mumbai, which was a shortened form of the goddess, the Hindu goddess, Mumbab Devi. So in Hindu, they have about 23 official languages, and the national language is Hindi, and of course they speak Telugu, But beyond that, there are several other dialects that are spoken in India. This is a very largely populated country. As a matter of fact, it is the second largest populated country in the world. China is number one with about 1.3 billion. India is just behind it at 1.1 billion. Now, compare that to the United States and the landmass. We have about 300 plus million. So you have just a comparatively small area, landmass, but a huge number of people. And we saw quite a number of people most everywhere we went. Of that huge population, about 80% is Hindu, the Hindu religion, and about 14% is Muslim. And then about 2% is what we call Christian. And of that 2%, just a small fraction are what we would refer to as New Testament Christians or the Church of Christ. So this is quite a mission field indeed for us. While we were there, we stayed busy speaking at gospel meetings, church dedications, baptizing, gospel meetings. It was just a extremely busy, busy time, but it was a very fruitful time. And we went there to encourage them, and so we did, but we also walked away very encouraged ourselves, encouraged with what we saw there, with the love that they had for each other, with the networking that was done from congregation to congregation, a very cooperative effort reaching into the community for the cause of Christ. Jayapal, as you know from his visit here, is a very remarkable man. He is a man of vision and a man of faith, and who tirelessly goes about doing God's will. And so we were thankful to have Jayapal there. And lest I forget the children were such an amazing, amazing sight to see. If you are a sponsor of one of these children in the children's home there in Rialli, you can be assured that they're in good hands, that they are teaching these children, and they're raising them into young Christian men and women. And it's a good work. It's a good work indeed, and a work for which Creekwood can be thankful that they have a part in it. So I want to go ahead and, with that introduction, let David come up and take you through a day-by-day journey into our activities there in Rialli.
If a picture paints 1,000 words, I have about 41,000 words for you. Just 41 pictures. But in India, this state of Andhra Pradesh is where Rialli is located. And I want to thank Chris. This map is off of our website, so I just lifted it off of there. This is the state of Andhra Pradesh. You'll see over here, there's East Godavari. I cannot remember how they pronounced it. I would say Godavari, but they told me right quick that wasn't right. And then West Godavari. And the East Godavari district is the eastern portion where Rialli is located. And this is East Godavari, and Rialli is located in that general area. It's a very small village where the church and the children's home, the Song of Joy School, is located, approximately 20 miles from the Bay of Bengal. And there's a river, the Godavari River, that flows just a few miles from Rialli. That's the general area. It's so it'd be southeast India. The weather, as I told you this morning, even though they're in their fall season as well, is still very, very warm. We missed the rainy season, and from what they told us, the rains had not been as heavy as in years past. But it was still wet enough to have the rice fields. I think they use a lot of the water from the river for that. banana trees, coconut trees. Those were prevalent in that area. Here we are, the Three Musketeers, in the Mobile airport, about to board the plane. I wore my glasses. I didn't want to mess with contacts for 30 hours, so I just removed that hindrance. But we went as representatives of you, of Creekwood, to, as Mike said, to go and encourage them, but also to show the people of Riley, Jayapal and his family, that we support them and wish all of us could have gone. But I want us to try to convey to you just how great a work it is. So about 25, 30 hours flight time to get there. And we finally arrived in Rajahmundry Airport, just a one landing strip airport. Wasn't real impressive, but then we see Jayapal, and they greet us with these fresh flower leis. And we had been forewarned that when we went over there that we could expect a lot of recognition, and they would just shower you with that honor and recognition to the point where we would be embarrassed. And those fears were realized. They would take many opportunities. I think I heard Nellie say that we, at one time or another, donned about 9 different of these leis at different functions where we went. So they went to great strides to make us feel welcome and honored, even though we really didn't want that, but they insisted. We then drove from Rajahmundry to Riley. Mike mentioned some of the things influenced from Britain, although I hope that in Great Britain they drive better than they do in India. Because this is what you would see a lot of time in the more populated areas. If it was less populated, it just meant the roads were more narrow, but you still had a lot of people walking. You had a whole lot of bicycles, quite a few motorcycles, driving on the left side of the road. But I want you to imagine, and there's one of those three-wheeled taxis is what I called them. There's a lot of those zipping in and out of traffic. But I want you to imagine driving down this road on the wrong side of the road and then meeting a big bus coming right at you. And you're wondering, okay, who's going to move? And you're thinking, okay, it's not going to be the bus, because that bus requires a lot more room. And Mike mentioned closing your eyes, and I close my eyes a lot when we would just, it seemed just inches, we would just barely miss these buses or trucks. And I had to tell Praveen many wonderful things about India, but you drive like crazy people. But we made it. Praveen, we were in good hands with Praveen. And this is where we went to this small village, and then we come to the church compound. What you see here is the church building. There'll be another picture of that in a moment. But this tall building here is the Bud and Joy Children's Home, the building that we dedicated. 4 stories high. We went up on top of the roof, and you could look out and see, you're above the palm trees, the coconut trees. You can see a very, very far distance. At night, they had lights streaming down the side, so it was really a wonderful sight to see. You can't see it from this vantage point, but I have another picture. But you see this man here, so you get an idea of the size of this sign. And there we see ourselves on this big sign. They had lifted this is part of a picture that Jayapal took while he was here. And here we are, larger than life on this sign, you know, continually embarrassed by this recognition. But everywhere we would go, they would shower us with this recognition. I don't have pictures of this, but when we got there, they had the children of the Song of Joy School lined up, And we went right through the middle of them wearing our flower leis. And they were saluting us and singing to us. I tell you, it was just an incredible, incredible thing. Singing to us in English, by the way. And here is Jayapal and his wife Soba. They were just extremely gracious hosts to us the whole time. Really spoiled us and fed us tremendously. This was a breakfast meal. And those aren't plates. Those are called, I would call them platters. And Soba would fill these platters just as full as they could get. And here's Nellie's breakfast one morning. But I will tell you, I don't think Nellie ever cleaned her plate. And by the end of the week, I wasn't even able to clean my plate. Because we discovered that as soon as you cleared one portion of the plate, she would come by and want to fill it again. And you could tell that she really wanted us to eat and eat well. I had some concerns about the food. I think we all did. But I will tell you that I thought the food was good. Now, if you have us over to eat and you want to fix some native Indian dishes, if you will wait about a year to give us some curry, I think that might be enough time for us to regain our likes for that. But the food was good. I even told Patrice in one email, I said, you better sit down before you read this next statement, but I'm tired of eating. I'm tired of eating. They really went overboard in providing for us. There are many good works going on in Rye Alley, and this on the side of the church building indicates several of the works. Now, this Christian Charitable Society, in the benevolent works in which Rye Alley Church has been involved, according to some government regulations, they couldn't do it so much in the name of Rye Alley Church of Christ. They had to have another name. And so that's just a broad name that was given. But then there's the children's home. And I'll show you more pictures of the facility that we dedicated. The Song of Joy Educational Center. Not only do the children of the children's home attend the school, but many from the community and surrounding area come in. In fact, from an email from Jayapal, a total of 338 students in that school. 338 students. There's a preacher training school. I'll show you a picture of the building that we also dedicated. And then a vocational training center. We asked some about this, and some of you remember some handmade things that the lady sent with Jayapal on his visit here. And he sent more to share with the children's home sponsors. And apparently they teach this craft. That's one of the crafts they teach in this vocational training center. As Mike said, Jayapal is a visionary. And those Christians there are involved in a lot of different works. But they're having a strong impact in that area, and we can rejoice in just being a part of it. I want to focus a little bit more on the Song of Joy Educational Center. This is the building where the school is housed. It's two stories, as you see, and each of those rooms reflects a classroom. But I want you to see the classroom. Well, that's the bus that Sam Paul, the driver, who was a student at the school, takes about three trips every day and fills it up and brings them in. And this is one of the classrooms. Someone asked when they saw one of these pictures, where are the desks? And there aren't any. In every classroom, except for one, I think they had some benches in one. In every classroom, they sit on the floor. I noticed the chalkboard in the background, but I also noticed those are chalkboard slates that they're using. And yes, they have they had paper and Praveen, for example, their oldest son has a degree in computers. So there are many that that know about technology. But as far as the classroom, they did have one room that was that had some computers in it. But they really get down to the basics. It's an English medium school, which means that they teach in English. And so the children are learning English as they grow. Children even from the age of 3 years and up, 3 years old and up. And the good morning, sir, and the British influence there is pretty striking. The first task was to dedicate the Bud and Joy Children's Home. Red Burleson had left a significant amount of funds to go toward this. It's a beautiful building. In the dedication of it, there was a big ceremony. They used a lot of plastic chairs, and they had them lined up. And they asked both of us to speak on that occasion. And we told some about Red Burleson, the man, and his generosity. And then we went into the building and then went floor by floor, but room by room. And almost on every door, they had a ribbon. And we'd say a prayer, and then we'd cut the ribbon. So they really went to great lengths in dedicating this building. And here in marble is this commemoration. And it says, the Red Burleson Memorial Complex for Bud and Joy Home Children Facility. And there in marble, mind you, as if we had a lot to do with it. But that's just another way of the way that they would seek to honor us. So that our names are going to be in India for as long as that marble lasts. But so is the Creekwood Church of Christ, River Chase, East Coleman, those congregations that have participated in this work. And it's after that we went floor by floor, room by room, and the bottom floor is mainly complete. It has some marble, even up on the tiles on the side of the walls. And when you think about a lot of children going in there, that made a lot of sense. But a beautiful, beautiful facility. Not yet complete. Not yet complete. Just the bottom floor is near completion. The rest of the floor still has a lot of work to do. That night they had a meal, and they invited people in from the community and fed hundreds of people. And this is a big pot of rice, one of several pots in which they used to cook over an open fire. And I was amazed at how many people that they fed. But a lot of the poor came in from the community to share in this meal. And their plates that they used were not the platters that Soba gave us, but banana leaves. And then they'd just spoon out some of this rice and curry chicken and other things, and they would eat, as you see, with their hands. So that was very interesting to us. And the children. I can't tell you enough how loving those children were. And it may have been that we looked funny and sounded funny, but this kind of reception just went on through the whole time that we were there. We fell in love with those children. It's some of the children that we met, precious children. We learned about their circumstances, many of them orphans. Some of them may only have a single parent living that may be living in poverty. So not all of them were orphans in the sense that they didn't have parents at all. But some of them were there because of poverty. And two little girls I'm thinking of, Satya and Chitty Lakshmi, just a year apart, but they look like twins. We were told that their mother comes to see them once a year. Once a year. And they're really missing out she's really missing out on a treasure of seeing those girls. I thought about Hannah and Samuel. And it really caused me to look at how Hannah would visit Samuel once a year in another light. And I'm sure that was for different circumstances, different reasons. But I couldn't stand to think that these children wouldn't see their parents or family very often. But yet you'll find that they're some of the happiest children you could ever imagine. Here's Nellie in one of her many times where she was crowded. That's Nellie's head right there. But the children would hover around her constantly. Here is the building, the preacher's training school. The hope is to add a second story when funds are available. And we were part of dedicating this building. So yes, there are names again. That's the first time we had been to that building, but they're going to know that we were there. They're going to know that we were there. This, I can't remember all of the details, but it's obviously named for Wendell J. Kelly, and whose family donated a lot of funds for this work. We spoke to the preachers in training, and a great group. You have to admire them and their work. And spoke to them quite a while on that Saturday that we were there. Three different sessions, probably a total of 3 to 4 hours. But yet that wasn't very long for them. This is the church building. They meet on the second floor up here. It's a beautiful building. There's some classrooms in the bottom and also the guest room. At the bottom left where Mike and Nellie stayed. But we were with them there for Sunday on worship. I wanted to show you this picture because right next door is a little hut where a family lives. And this gives you an indication of how poor the people are. There are many, many homes with these thatched roofs or the clay tile roofs and the pumps to get their water, again, they didn't have a lot of the modern conveniences that we take for granted. But right next to the building is one of these houses. Taught a children's class first thing on Sunday morning. And the children sitting on the floor, and Mike and I were trying to teach them some songs in English, and I think they understood most of it. Of course, from the South, we talk a little slower and probably sing a little slower. But we enjoyed teaching those children. And then we gathered for worship about 1 o'clock in the afternoon and stayed till about 4 o'clock. And here, most of them are sitting on the floor, on that hard floor, for that length of time. I asked Jai Paul how many were in attendance. He said probably around 600. Gracious people, a strong congregation in that area. That particular Sunday, we baptized 8 people, 2 of them in the baptistry, this portable baptistry that we had taken over with us. So we're able to use it, and I think it's going to be very helpful to them as they travel in rural areas where they may not have access to the canal or to a body of water, and they can fill this portable baptistry up and use it that way. The rest of the baptisms were in the canal, which was maybe a couple of miles away. And so most of the baptisms were performed there. There's some fish in that canal. I know it because they were nibbling on my toes. The next day we went to a dedication of one of the, this was about an hour away from Raleigh, to dedicate the church building. And yes, Michael Edelman, David Sargent, Nellie Edelman, our names are out in the boondocks in India. But we dedicated the prayer hall. Every church building that we dedicated, we also spoke And we just gave first principle sermons. We talked about Jesus the Savior and the church that he died for. And again, we kept finding that the visitors there among the Christians were so receptive. And on this day, after we were through, six people were baptized into Christ. Then we went to eat, and I believe this is the preacher's home in this location. One of those thatched roof huts. And there are other pictures that have of the ceiling, and so it's very primitive according to our standards, but the people were so, so gracious. And at first they had the plates, and they didn't have any utensils, so I thought, okay, we're going to eat with our hands. But it was just a matter of minutes when somebody had run somewhere and got some forks and brought them back to us. But it's really humbling, and it makes you really appreciative to see people living in these circumstances, but yet still hospitable and as kind as they can be. Second location where we went on this particular day, this is Monday, was to another church building dedication. The building had not yet even begun to be built. And so we were involved in putting down the cornerstone. And they had each of us put a brick down, symbolizing the beginning of that building. Those people, by the way, waited for us 2 hours. Because of the baptisms, we were delayed. And, of course, that was for a good cause. But I was so impressed that they waited 2 hours for us to arrive there. The following day, we went and dedicated another church building. And here was a sign welcoming us. And yes, another plaque where our names were on there. Again, too much recognition for us, but just a demonstration of their appreciation for the Creekwood Church and Christians in the States that are helping them in this effort. Creekwood was able to purchase 20 bicycles and several New Testaments to give to the local, the area preachers. And those preachers were delighted to get these bicycles. And that would be their, Jesus said, go. And this would be how many of them would go and teach others about Christ. They would get on these bicycles, and that would be their means of transportation. Another humbling thing about that. At that point, we weren't able to supply all the preachers with a bicycle, and that was kind of a sad feeling, but I'm hopeful that, and we're hopeful that we'll be able to help the rest of them get a bicycle in the very near future. This was very striking to me. This is a couple that had been present in Riley on that Tuesday for the open-air meeting that I mentioned this morning. Some 1,500 people from the area, Christians and non-Christians, had come to the church compound where we basically had a gospel meeting. This husband and wife, I'm not sure how far they had come, but they were present the day before. But they had come back to Riley on that Wednesday, which was our last full day there. They said that they had been thinking about their situation and that they realized, they had talked about it, they realized they needed to be baptized into Christ. And so they made their trip back to Riley so that we could baptize them as well. And that was so impressive to me that they'd really thought and prayed about this situation and realized their need for Christ. And so we come to the close of our, and that's a brief overview of our time there. A beautiful country. This is a picture of the canal at sunset. We couldn't help but have some sadness that our brief time there was drawing to a close. But we left there a changed people. with a deep appreciation for our brothers and sisters in Christ on the other side of the world. Just a few more pictures of the people. The last night we were there, the children from the home and school put on a production. I tell you, it was it's more of a talent show. They sang. They included some of the Native Indian dance. They did skits. It was extremely impressive. I would have enjoyed it even more had I not been so sleepy. It went on late. We didn't get through till midnight. But the children were so precious in the things that they did. This, Nathan, is Bintu. Bintu. Nathan Lunsford has been corresponding with Bintu via email. And Nellie had this picture taken with Bintu, this little sharp-dressed man. A wonderful little boy. Just, instantly fall in love with him. But I was glad that we were able to get a picture. That's Bintu, Nathan. But they say your name's something like Nathan or something like that. A little bit different pronunciation. Here's one of the locals on his main mode of transportation. And it kind of gives you an idea of their status in life. But very, very kind people. Always ready to have their picture taken. Here is some that have taken their bananas, very green bananas from off their trees and taken them to market. Just one of the ways that people in that area would earn an income. 80% Hindu in India. And this is part of the temple there in Rayali. You see how colorful it is. Mike and Srikant, that is Jayapal's second son. Mike got on the back of his motorcycle and they took off and saw some of the sites and visited this Hindu temple. And we, on our way out, we saw where many of them had come to offer some kind of sacrifices to these Hindu gods. It reminded me that there's something in us that looks out and looks up. And so many of them are misguided in the Hindu religion. But again, in that context, with so many Hindus, we found so many that were receptive to hearing about the one true living God and about salvation in Jesus. This is the last picture, just a snapshot, one of the many of a lot of the children and adults and those that shared our time together, some of them waving goodbye. Again, we left with heavy hearts, but also hearts filled with joy at the work that is done there. I'm thankful that by God's providence, Bud and Joy McDonald got acquainted with this work about 30 years ago, and now we have an opportunity to continue sharing in this work. It reminds me of 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 and 9. We are laborers together with God. We're laborers together with God. I want to conclude with this with a passage from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We were struck by how instantly it seemed that we knew our brothers and sisters in Christ in India. And I believe it was because of that bond that we share in Christ. That even though we may look different, that we spoke different languages, we had different customs, different foods, different facilities, there was that bond that unites us in Christ. So even though and even though we had to leave our family and church family for a while, it was wonderful to see our family on the other side of the world. That wherever you go, if you find Christians, that you know that you have that you're home in that sense. I hope that we'll all have a greater appreciation for this work in which we're involved. That you are making a difference in the lives of children who, without the children's home and the school, would be facing a very bleak future. You're making a difference in the lives of people who are misguided by religions of the world. But they're being given an opportunity to hear about Jesus and about the one true living God. In every sermon that's preached in that Raleigh area, every person that has an opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus, we have a part in that. And for that reason, we have a lot to be thankful for. It's wonderful to know that you have brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. But that's a blessing that is only known by the child of God. Are you a child of God tonight? Do you need to obey the gospel as so many precious souls did and are doing in that area? We want to extend to you the invitation of Christ tonight. If you need to obey the gospel or if you need the prayers of the church, won't you let that be known while together we stand and sing.